Morning, everyone.
Doesn't appear to be on. Well, now it is. You can hear me. And I'll go to the front here in just a minute because I have a few announcements I'd like to make. It's great to see everybody. Glad that we can fellowship together. Good place to be. Glad you took time out of your busy schedules to fellowship in person. You that are joining us online, God's blessings to you. I'm glad that we can share the gospel in that way as well. Again, praise God. It's good that we can be in God's house. Fellowship, praise, hear from his word. I want to start off with a few announcements to share with you. One that is, it's important for us as the family of Christ. And I want to talk about us being the family of Christ this morning. But Nina's mom, Marian, passed away. And so it was just on Friday, if I got my days right, early in the morning. And so our hearts and prayers go out with you. We'll lift that up later on in our service, of course. And just praying that things would go smoothly and that God would grant you abundant peace and comfort. Of course, in the rich face that she had. And so we're with you. Stand beside you at this time. May God bless you, strengthen you. You'll notice that there is a lot happening next door. So take a look. You'll have an opportunity to see. Maybe exit through that way. I know it's cold out today, but you get the opportunity to look out and see what they're doing. It's rather fascinating. And also, it is newsletter time. So myself and Chris Rogge, Chris does quite a bit on it, and then collaborate together and putting it out. If you have any requests, please send them to Chris, and they'll be put in the newsletter. So we want to get all the information out to you so we can have good communication. And also, we had an interesting development this week. We interviewed a secretary through Manpower, and she is from Abu Dhabi. So it was really nice. She's a student over at the university, and it was just good for Kevin and myself and David Lang, Kevin Donahoe, myself and David Lang to get together and talk with her. So we're in the process of working that out and when the start time would happen. You know, starting now during the middle of Lent and Easter week would not be fair to any new employee. So we'll see how things go, but keep that in your prayers, please. It's good to see progress going forward in that way. Also want to remind everyone that we do have, and I am available for a Bible study after the service and have been. Most people have just been leaving. And that's good because we have busy schedules and things they're doing. But I just wanted to share that with you. Sunday school, we're in the process of restarting that. As a matter of fact, my wife and Carol and others, along with Karen Rohr, our preschool teacher, have already met and planning on that. And it's really nice plans for coming up in the fall. So we're really excited about that. So praise God. It's good that the Lord is powering us, enabling us to do many things together. And I pray that God would just continue, as I know he will, continue to bless us. Good to be in God's house. Amen. Good to fellowship together. Dear brothers and sisters, as we continue our Lenten worship, let's stand. Let's begin our worship this morning as we sing our first hymn. Friends in Christ, we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise. Receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness, confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Together, Almighty God,
have mercy upon us.
Almighty God, our merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children, gathered us into your one holy church, which you daily and richly forgive us our sins, and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we don't deserve it, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness and be an example of your great love through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. He shares our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 59:15 through 21. The truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one, and he was appalled that there was no one to intervene. And his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on of salvation on his head. He put on the garments. He put on the garments of vengeance, and he wrapped himself in zeal, as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and to the retribution of his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory, for he will come like the pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from 1 Peter 4:7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace, it is in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of our Lord. Please rise for the gospel.
We hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." He denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little while later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him. He is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking him and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together let us confess, "I believe God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and Christ, who was our Holy Spirit, born of the earth, suffered in the past, was by God. He descended into the earth. He descended.
Please be seated while we sing.
Thank you.
morning, everyone. I think there's people here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice. Hey, glad to be in God's house. Good place to be. We're not in a dentist's office. We're here to hear the word of God and to grow in the wonderful blessings of God. I have probably a short, very really simple message I want to share with you. You'll see in your outlines, I don't have any slides on the screen. We'll just stay on camera here. But on your outlines, there's a couple of notes. We want to look at the section from 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 through 11. And let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds to your word, the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. And as I wrote in your outline, Peter in verse 7, he says, the end of all things is near. What goes through your mind when you hear that everything around you, everything you have ever seen or experienced in the world will soon be gone? Done away. It's not going to be here anymore. You know, I think for some, I guess it would be worrying and troubling. All your friends, family, work. And you know what it says in the Bible? It says we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of God. There's a time when that has to happen. And honestly, I think there's sadly enough Christians that just kind of shrug their shoulders and go, hey, really? You know, this has been going on for how many years? It hasn't changed. He said he was going to come back. Oh, by the way, doesn't it say in Scripture, you don't know the hour and the day, so why are you even talking about it? Well, Peter talks about it. Peter's telling us that the end is near. What is the connection? I know we're just jumping into the middle of the epistle, but I think it's huge for us to think about why he brought this up. And you have right in front of you the epistle reading, and we're all good readers, so you can just quickly scan through it. What in the world is the connection between the end coming and us loving one another? Well, let me give you an analogy. I just want to give you one that I pray would put it in context. It helped me quite a bit. We'll see. There was a shipwreck, and I found out this fact back in 1852. It was off the coast of Africa, and when that happened, there was a command given, and I didn't realize, but when the ships went down in ages past, guess what the captain would say? Maybe some of you know if you're history buffs. Robert's not here. Every man for himself. So that was not an unusual command. Ships going down. You'd hear over the radio or you'd hear over the megaphone. Every man for himself. Well, this was a ship called the HMS Birkenhead. 1852, ships going down. Command given, every man for himself. And why not? Self-preservation is huge, right? In the world that we live, in this postmodern age, me first. I'm the most important one, and most of us just think about ourselves first. The way the world goes around. What happened on that shipwreck was the army people, there were about 20-some women and children, and the army officer and the people under him decided that they did not want to cause panic and a mad rush. And so what they did was ensure that chaos did not ensue. And instead, these soldiers and the commanding officer refused to heed the call, every man to himself. And as I said, they were afraid that the mad rush would crush the women and children. And it's not that even women and children are more important or anything like that. The reason why I'm telling you this story is because it illustrates that these men saw the lives of others more precious than themselves. And a similar thing happened on the Titanic. That happened a little while later. That was in 1912, and it was on April 15th. And there's many stories where men literally sacrificed their lives knowingly in order to put women on the lifeboat. And of course, there were people that rather scandalously dressed up as women or tried to hide and tried to get on the boats and put themselves first. Do you ever think of this world as a sinking ship? It is. Got a big hole in it when Adam and Eve sinned. It's going down. We don't like to think that, especially in our modern age, our postmodern age. We want to think we can fix it. We can repair it. We can fix the environment. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I am actually more green than you probably know. But, you know, seriously, it's a sinking ship. You guys following what's happening in Ukraine? How about other parts of the world? We have one of our members who's from Ukraine. It's unfathomable. I was visiting with Kat this week. And as we were talking, we were comparing notes between what Jill and I experienced in the Civil War in Sierra Leone. And it is really unfathomable, folks, when human nature just goes unhinged and you see the depravity and really what is in our hearts. We cover it up in our society. Our society is so wonderful, so cool. We live these beautifully well-appointed lives and beautifully well-appointed homes. We can control things. We got our Amazon. We have this. We have that. We got everything we need. And we don't realize how the world is really living and how difficult it is for the vast majority of people in this world. It is tough. We're blind. It is sinking. It's reality. When Peter says the end is near, can you see that as a blessing? Can you see that as, yes, Lord Jesus, come? My heart grieves for these people. Even in Champaign and Urbana, do you feel a pain for the people as you drive past who are suffering, who are poor, who don't have? And how can we possibly give enough? It's a broken thing. You know, and so in all this, I'm not depressed by it, I'm not sad, but I want to pose a question to you because I believe that's what Peter's asking. I gave you the example of the HMS Birkenhead and the Titanic. Two different types of people. Who are you? Who are you? This is something that Peter really wants us to think about. How do you look at it? How do you see yourselves? Is it me first? Am I the main show? Do you think, well, me first, and then maybe I'll help the other? You know, Jesus Christ gave us the most excellent, most beautiful example. Our rebellion had sunk this world. I mean, it is a ship going down. And I can't wait for him to come back. Because you can see in our text, if you just glance at the words, you can see the beauty of what Christ is bringing. It is awesomely cool. Loving one another, being at peace with one another. Oh, this is great stuff. This is what we're looking forward to. And the way it works is this, folks, is that Jesus Christ came into this broken world And he himself, into this sinking ship, he went to the cross. He took the pain. He took the suffering. We saw it in our gospel reading. And we also saw in the gospel reading the most amazing, wonderful gift that he gives us, forgiveness of sins. You saw Peter's conduct. You saw what Peter did. You saw how Peter was sucked into the cesspool of this world. You saw how Jesus Christ looked at him. And when you see the complete story, you see that Jesus Christ wanted to make Peter abundantly sure that he was part of the family of God. He came to him. He sought him out. He offered him forgiveness. He wanted to see that the sacrifice that Christ made, that Christ himself made, was real. It was salvation. It was true. And we put our faith and we put our trust in that. And you know what happens? We are a new community in Christ. We are a new group of people. We are a new home. We offer forgiveness. We offer grace. We think differently. He says in this verse, he has a beautiful thing. He says, love covers a multitude of sins. Can you see how with the early apostles, that word would have just sunk into the nth degree? And it would have touched the core of their being. I would like to leave you just with just a couple of practical applications. And it centers around one thought in my mind. Because by God's grace in your baptism, you've been brought into the family of God. Your sins can't erase that. Isn't that amazing? Our pride, our arrogance, our faults can't erase that. Believe that. That's the gospel. This is incredible. This is who you are. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. We have that in the calling. Now, for us, and I would encourage you, I encourage myself, let us be open to the interruptions that God brings into our lives. I'll give you one example of what those interruptions look like. A friend of mine, I won't share her name, but she had a very difficult time this week. Somebody in her family is really very seriously sick and very quite possibly could die. And this is very difficult for the person. So she was leaving work, and she received word about this and really just felt a little overwhelmed. She knew that one of her friends, who knew she was a Christian, and they two don't go to church together, but she realized, you know, this is a good time for me to have the fellowship that, like what Peter's talking about, sharing the gifts and the love of God with one another. So she went back into the workplace and went up to her friend and said, hey, I knew you were still here. Would you pray with me? Because this thing's happening, and it's really hard for me. And I need some help. And the person said, I'd love to pray with you. And can you imagine, you know, just, you have to take that first step. You see, that was an interruption, so to speak, from God. And you really have to move on that faith that Christ has planted. That's what Peter's getting to. Don't take it as a legalistic thing. If you do, you miss the point completely. You take it as an opportunity for fellowship and community in Christ. But we move on that. And she did. And it changed her perspective on her family and the situation. It changed her perspective on her friend. It changed her friend's perspective. Do you see what Peter's talking about? How that extends out. This is what he's seeing. This is what he's trying to create. Not create, but he's trying to stir up, because God's creating. Powerful stuff. Good stuff. These are God's interruptions that come into our lives. Close with one more that occurred to me this week. I had a meeting on the ministry council. We're thinking of ways we can use Fellowship Hall, and one of our ministry council members is joining a campus ministry group called IFI, International Friends Inc. And their ministry is really just building friendships with foreign students that have no other connections. They come over here, and it's really just really low key. I mean, you might just give them a ride somewhere, or, you know, you may just invite them over to your house. I mean, how simple is that, right? I mean, you eat with friends, do you invite people over to your house? It's that simple. And maybe go out to a park together or something like that. So, you know, it was really good. And you know, as I was talking to Bill, I thought, you know, now I could see Jill and I doing this. You know, we got a house, we got a yard. I could see that. Just talking to Bill and say, hey, Bill, we could, you know, accommodate 6, 8, 10 students easily. And he'll organize, he'll take care of it all. And, you know, Peter's talking about this in this text. He's talking about using your gifts. And sometimes, you know, we think about it and they're maybe not significant ways, but what he's really getting to, my dear friends in Christ, is making yourself available to these divine interruptions so that there is opportunities to fellowship, because it's through that Christ himself fellowship with us. And he's calling out to us. Let's open up our hearts and minds to this Jesus that sees a world that's sinking. And his heart's desire, as he looks through your heart and your eyes, saying, you know, your life just as it is, I've engineered it in such a way that it can touch someone. Fascinating thing. Is you're more blessed in the process. Complete shift in thinking. We shouldn't be surprised, because Jesus doesn't think like us. He calls us into the body of Christ. And I pray that he might stir us up as that. As a community that loves, that shares, find a special joy in this beautiful, wonderful relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, and the relationship which the world longs to see. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for not leaving us to sinking ship. Thank you, Lord, for coming to us, putting us, in a sense, first, and that you died for our sins. Stir our hearts and minds, Lord, with your great love. Let it influence our character and our hearts and minds. Well, Lord, you can do this through the power of your Holy Spirit, and this is what I pray and plead for in us. Thank you, in Jesus' name. May God bless you. Keep you in His grace. Let's stand as we sing our offertory. Again, as we go before Heavenly Father in prayer, Nina, our heart goes out to you. We continue to keep you in our prayers. Not only you, but your whole family, too. God bless you. Peace. I added, Jill and I added Jan Burr, you'll see on the prayer list. That is Jill's dad. He's going through some significant health issues at this time. So I'd appreciate your prayers for him. If you do have any prayer requests, please don't feel out of place sharing them with us. Myself, if it's private, you can let us know and we won't share it. But we would love the privilege of praying for you and lifting you up, and our prayer team would too. So you can do that personally. My phone number is in the bulletin. You can do that online. But God bless you. There's cards as you leave. You can submit a prayer request as well. Dear friends in Christ, let us go before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you for not abandoning us, but coming to us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving your life for us. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather around the table of the Lord, may it just strike our hearts and minds, just the great differences that there are between even us as we gather together. And then, Lord, you have brought us together in a way that this world cannot do, but have united us through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for indeed the freedom that has won for us. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, let us not be shy to live in that love. Let us not be cowardly in sharing that love with others. We know that that is challenging, and that in our hearts we often think of ourselves first. But Lord, all things are possible with you. And so we ask that you might melt our pride and shape our hearts. Jesus, for your goodness and grace. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the work in the fellowship hall. We pray, Lord, that you would help it to go safe, and that you would bless our efforts and opportunities that we will have, that you will give us to serve you, your hearts be open to the interruptions that you bring. Lord God, bless our small groups. May they be places in LWL, book club, and home groups, Lord, where we can grow closer to one another, closer to you. Lord, be with the preschool. Thank you so much for the chapel this week. Thank you for the faith that you planted in these little ones. It's amazing, Lord, to see Holy Spirit working in the hearts and minds of these little children and the testimony of their faith. Blessed, Lord, may it be a wonderful witness to their own lives and to their families. Keep the preschool safe, we pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we know this world. We've experienced it, some of us, in different ways, of course, but we hear the crisis in Ukraine. We ask you to be with Kat Silvestro, Lord, our member, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with her family and her cousin. We ask, Lord, for those that are suffering there, that you would keep them safe, especially our brothers and sisters. Lord, that though you it might seem 1,000 million miles away, and Lord, they might just look at the hurt and the pain, help them also to see, Lord, your comfort and grace. Help them to draw near to your promises, and the presence that you bring as they seek you and pray and worship together. Lord, watch over them and keep them safe. Not only them in Ukraine, Lord, but those who are suffering in Haiti. Bless the schools that we support and the work of Trinity Hope. With those in the Middle East and other parts of the world, Lord, where they suffer just because they believe that you are in the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we thank you. Help them to know that we're praying for them. Strengthen them in their faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, bless our government. Give them wisdom. Lord, help there be a good resolution in Ukraine. Your Heavenly Father, with the power that they have for a season, and especially in our country, Lord, we pray we can continue to worship freely. We pray, Lord, that for us as citizens of your kingdom and of this country, that we would live a life of dignity and respect and love for all. Lord, in your mercy. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with those that need the special touch of your care. Thank you for hearing our prayers for Josh Eubanks. Lord, be with Ken Rhodes and Jan Burr and Bill Benton. Lord, we ask that you be with Nina and family, Chaplain Bob, Nina's husband. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them, that as they look to you for strength, for peace, for assurance of your word, and Lord, that they indeed rejoice in your empty tomb, the promises that you have richly given us. Lord, that they would find comfort in the days to come, in the goodness of your grace and your victory over death, your gift of eternal life. Lord, we have friends and family in our hearts, co-workers that need the touch of your care. Lord, we lift them up to you. We thank you that you hear our prayer. Be their help, their hope, and their healing. For in your hands we commit everything for which we pray, trusting in your mercy through our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our service continues now as we celebrate Holy Communion. My dear friends in Christ, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption that you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, salvation that come to us in his holy body and blood. Join together in the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Give us this day and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." My dear friends in Christ, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Table of the Lord is the family of Christ. My dear friends in Christ, may this, the true body and blood of our precious Savior, strengthen and preserve us in true faith, now and in the life everlasting. Let us depart in his rich peace and his joy. Amen. strengthen and preserve us in your faith, now and unto life everlasting. Let us depart in his peace and his joy. Let's stand. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, a gracious and almighty God, that you have indeed refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Let's remain standing while we sing five verses of Chief of Sinners, Though I Be. Thank you.
enjoy worshiping with you. I'm glad that we can fellowship together. I pray that you have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you next weekend and maybe during the week at our Advent or at our Lenten services. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.